It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a hybrid of all of them. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Vinny Maliulo from behind the desk, slow jamming with Vinny. Later this hour, we conclude each and every week with Vinny's perspective from things. Let's update the leaderboard. We have Todd right here standing by, but let's update the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Early second round action at Winged Foot. The leaderboard remains the same as it did after round one, at least at the top. Justin Thomas still in the clubhouse. He doesn't tee off till later this afternoon. Justin Thomas, 5 under yesterday. The round one leader, he remains atop the leaderboard. Patrick Reed remains 1 stroke back. He is alone now, 1 stroke back. Rory is 2 strokes back. None of those three guys has teed off yet. They tee off this afternoon. Thomas Peters from Belgium, who started out on fire this morning, has come back. He is still 3 under, so he's 2 back. Louis Oosthuizen, 3 under, 2 back as well. So the leaderboard largely remains the same. Low score early here in the second round, and the course is very much the winner thus far this morning. But Bubba Watson and Daniel Berger each are 3 under on the day. That brings Bubba to 1 under for the tournament, brings Berger to even par now after a choppy day yesterday. So makes for a great afternoon of golf coming up. I've got the futures ticket on Reed, so I will be locked into the Peacock app to watch second round U.S. Open golf action. That's what we come to. You got to search for it every day. I'm like, where am I watching this? Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. He's the greatest radio host who's ever lived. He's got his own fantasy football podcast. We're about to talk fantasy football with him here as well. And the Todd Wright Toddcast. Ladies and gentlemen, he was in studio here the other day. He popped in, and I said to everybody in studio, I said, you're in the presence of greatness. It's Todd Wright, everybody. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning to you, Gil. My apologies to you, everyone on the staff there, and your listeners for not making my segment yesterday. I do have power today, and I'm also caught up on my sleep, so I needed that alarm clock that wasn't there yesterday. I apologize. Happy to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. No apology necessary. How do you view this tournament so far, and how do you view it now based on how you thought about it prior to it beginning yesterday?
Nice of Dustin Johnson to allow others to compete.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's my initial thought. I mean, based on the last month, it's been as dominant as any player in 4 or 5 years. And he did not get it going yesterday. So he has a lot of work to do, but it opens things up. I watched John Rahm, who, you know, I also have a futures ticket on at 9-1. Yesterday, Rahm had some real opportunities to be right there with Wolf and with Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed, and he just burned edges with a couple of putts. His tee to green game was great, and he's down there now with Berger, I believe right around even or plus one, with Berger having a good round today. I will say Justin Thomas has the look of someone who can go wire to wire. He is a player like DJ and like Rahm who can just front run a great field and you can't get to him. So I think today is really important. I mean, I saw how significantly the number dropped at the Westgate on Thomas, going from about 14 or 16 to 1 down to, what did I see it at? This morning, 9-2. So Cornegay showing you the liability there on how Thomas can front run a great field and just run, not necessarily run away with this, but it's like, come get me with his tee to green and total complete game. I'm really watching to see as the field backs up today, the majority, not Bubba, not Daniel Berger, but they were down the list. Does Justin Thomas back up? Or does he grind out, say, a 1 or a 2 under round as others back up and going into the weekend has a 2 or a 3 shot lead? I think he'd be very tough to catch.
I know you liked another couple golfers that are 3 back very much in contention. Xander Schauffele, Matthew Wolf, getting it done for you early.
Wolf plus two, I see him through eight. That's okay today. You know, it's not great. I'm sure he'd tell you it's not great, but you can get out of there today. It's like Rahm is plus one. Survive today. That's the way it looks. Now, it can change in the afternoon wave. We don't know. That's sort of the odd part about a Friday with the morning rounds compared to the afternoon rounds. Conditions can change. Wind can change. The course can actually change a little bit. But yeah, Wolf, in some of the stats, Rahm was as good as anyone in length and accuracy the last month plus, and Wolf was second. So there's actually many similarities to Rahm to Wolf. And Schauffele's just, Gil, we've talked about this for a year now. When you get the best players in the world together, Schauffele just raises the level of his game. He's never won a major. He's not a household name. But even at the Tour Championship, who was the one guy on the last hole who had a chance to push Dustin Johnson to a playoff? Xander. It was Schauffele.
Yeah.
Says a lot.
Gil Alexander, Todd Wright, right here at a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. Before we get to your fantasy football thoughts, which is your normal segment, Tampa Bay Lightning, you're in Central Florida. Your home team there got into the Stanley Cup Finals last night by virtue of their 2-1 overtime win over the Isles yesterday, Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tampa Bay, minus 200 for the series. Dallas Stars, plus 170, series price. Game 1 price. Tampa Bay right around minus 160. Shop around for that. Stars plus 140. And before the playoffs, the exact price, if you will, for the exact matchup on a Stars Lightning Stanley Cup Finals was 50-1. That cashes for those who made that wager. How do you view this series from your perspective there outside of Tampa?
Well, I said I came around on Dallas from the end of the Colorado series to the beginning of the West Finals. And I even told you that I wasn't looking at series prices for the conference finals, but I was going to play the underdogs until further notice, game by game. And it worked out. And the only exception was I did hit the Lightning after their losses to the Islanders to cover 1.5, which they did in game 4. They didn't last night. So that paid off throughout the conference finals. I've come around on Dallas that maybe the Islanders were the team that, like Carolina last year, like Ottawa a few years ago, raises to a certain level and just can't get over the hump. Dallas impressed me with how they match up differently and do what they need to do against every opponent in these playoffs. The way they beat Calgary was different from the way they beat Colorado, and they played a much different game against Vegas. I know it frustrated a lot of Vegas Golden Knights fans, and I'm kind of one of them. The argument was actually made by someone I was listening to in the afternoon somewhere in Vegas that as great as Theodore is, and he's a future Norris Trophy candidate for the Golden Knights, the more he pushed deep to try to score for a very frustrated Vegas Golden Knights team, the more Dallas had room to counterattack. And Rick Bonus, and I've told you, there's no one who's coached more games in the NHL than Rick Bonus, even though most of them are as an assistant. He was fired by then general manager Steve Yzerman a couple years back because, quote, the defense simply wasn't good enough. Okay, so now Cooper has to deal with Bonus, who knows this group pretty well. Now, there's a lot of new names on the Lightning that they brought in to play a more sustainable playoff-type game this year. They brought in Stanley Cup experience in Maroon. They added Bogosian on the blue line. They have an entirely new third line with board skating with Gaudreau and Coleman. Coleman always been a very talented young player from the Devils from a few years ago. But Bonus knows Cooper. Bonus knows Kucherov. Bonus knows Palat and Point and Vasilevsky. I think this is a very difficult matchup for the Lightning, and I'd be tempted to stick with playing the Stars game by game, and I do have them at plus 225 to win the Cup, which is a ticket I bought after they went up 3-1 on the Golden Knights.
Nice. Very nice. I think that's probably the way I'll play it too. Just wait to see what the Stars are game by game. But all the while thinking that the Lightning are the superior hockey team. I do anyway, but I'll play the Stars if the price is right on a game-by-game basis. We're talking to Todd Wright, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast host, and, of course, the Todd Wright Toddcast as well. Former host, of course, of All Night with Todd Wright, famously, in ESPN Radio back in the day. Fantasy. If I recall our post-week one segments from years past, there is a Todd Wright pet peeve at this point after week one that I absolutely love. Please explain to the people what that was, and have you seen examples of it this year as well?
Is it the ridiculous trade request?
Yes, exactly what it is. Yes.
Yep. It's the ridiculous trade request where someone who thinks they know fantasy football is basically admitting they don't know fantasy football. They had a bad draft. They're 0-1. They probably lost by 30 or 40 points. And they're already calling people who drafted ahead of them in the first round. And the call goes something like this. Yeah, what do you want for McCaffrey? What do you want for Zeke?
I love that.
What do you want for Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
And to all owners who get that call this week, you can respond the way the Carolina management, the Cowboy management, and Tennessee management would to the same call and just click, hang up, and let them figure out why you're hanging up.
Love that. Love your responses to these things. Okay, let me see. Your favorite claim this week. Anybody surprise you where you're like, oh, I didn't see this coming. I need to get this guy.
Well, it wasn't only that I claimed him in both my leagues. We had to consolidate the podcast league to kind of a bunch of all-stars this year because my sponsor didn't want us hosting draft parties in the restaurant until further notice. So I respected that. And then the foundation league did increase from 10 to 12 teams. But I was able, despite winning week one in both, so I had a low waiver claim. Even another owner in one of my leagues says, I can't believe you got this guy with a late first-round waiver claim in week one. And that's Kelly with the LA Chargers. I'm not sold and never have been sold. Austin Eckler's a number one back. There are always, Gil, you and I could do what? 30 minutes of research and come up with 10 number two running backs who, when given the opportunity due to injury or change in offseason depth chart, and they move to number one, and they're just not the same.
Yeah.
Marion Barber was this way for the Cowboys about 10 plus years ago, was a terrific number two back. They let the number one go. They pay Marion. And as a number one, you're just looking at him and saying, this isn't the same guy. I don't believe that's Austin Eckler either. And Eckler has a history of fumble problems. Kelly had a good week one. He's an exciting young player. There are a lot of exciting young running backs out there. Some who did get plenty of touches week one. And on a Charger team that struggled to score against Cincinnati, and the Browns didn't in week two, Kelly is a guy who can get them in the end zone.
All right, so let's say you draft a team, and I know you're big before week one. You're like, okay, look, you drafted a bunch of guys. Let's not get too cute before week one. Play the guys you drafted high. You drafted them for a reason if you're doing this correctly. What about if your backup quarterback, let's say, has a spectacular week in week one, like an Aaron Rodgers? And Aaron Rodgers may, in fact, be your backup quarterback because quarterbacks don't typically get drafted high. Do you go to the recency of week one and say, okay, I did that for week one with my draft, but yeah, I'm allowed to tweak it and play Aaron Rodgers here after what I saw in week one?
You're right, Gil. Generally, I say, your starters are your draft board week one and week two, unless you have enough evidence to make maybe one change. This was the first year, I think Florio had a headline on this on Pro Football Talk. First year since 2011, we haven't had a quarterback change from week one to week two due to a benching or to injury. First time in 9 years. So that affects this. I made one change in my lineup. Going into week two, I'm sitting Edelman because of the way the Patriots ran the offense week one. I'm not cutting him, but I'm sitting him week two in favor of Slayton because of Slayton's continued connection with Jones in New York. And I did draft Aaron Rodgers because I saw him in the eighth round. I already had Deshaun Watson. There wasn't anybody else I really needed to have at the running back or wide receiver position. And I just said to myself, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a good year. Let's just put him on the bench week one and see what happens. I'm going to play him week two because I, like you and all your VEASAN staff and all your listeners, I saw Deshaun Watson with a lack of offensive weapons in the opener against the Chiefs. And I want to see how that plays out in week two in a very difficult matchup where the total has already been bet down, Gil. I don't know about the South Point. I know down at Cornegay's place at Westgate, it's been bet down from 54.5 to 51.5. So, and I think that's because of the Texans. Certainly isn't because of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So I'm going to sit Watson this week, play Rodgers at home against the Lions. That doesn't scare me. So those are the tweaks I'm making week one. But don't blow up your team after 1 week. Don't make a ton of lineup changes. But if you have a reason to make one change, as I did in both leagues, then go with it.
I'm seeing a total across the board of 50. I even see a 49.5 out there, Todd, for the Texans and the Ravens, down from 53.5 as an open. So, yeah, a big move to the under in that game. Let me ask you this. If you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, what do you do?
Find the nearest bridge. Don't go, but just know where one is because you blew it again.
Just know
you
where
did.
It is.
And I looked up Le'Veon Bell's contract. This just feels like it's going nowhere. This feels like another Fournette to me
at
this point.
It really does. I agree. Yeah.
Once Bell gets healthy, Gil, the Jets could trade him, save $13 million in cap space, and only have $2 million in dead money this year. I could see Gase doing that. And let's face it, 4 years ago when you and I would talk, Le'Veon Bell was the best back in the NFL. What has he done now for three seasons? He sat one out, got to 75 yards once last year, and has already hurt week one of the third year. He needs to get his career going. I think he and the Jets need to part ways.
Jeez. Don't jump off the bridge. Just know where the bridge is. Great. That's a great answer. All right. Exit question. And this is probably the biggest injury, or at least one of the short list of biggest injuries in the NFL this week. Michael Thomas of the Saints, Todd. New Orleans, 5.5-point favorites at Las Vegas. The opening of Allegiant Stadium here. No fans, though, right here on the freeway in Las Vegas. I know you had a chance to view it from the outside this past week. It is definitely a sight to behold here in Las Vegas. But Michael Thomas, I mean, this is huge for the Saints. Biggest injury of week one. From a fantasy standpoint, what do people do? Is there an obvious player for that benefits from his absence if he is, in fact, absent for the Saints?
I don't think so, Gil. You tell me if you disagree. I think Emmanuel Sanders was already drafted, probably as a wide receiver three or a flex play. Sure, you're playing Sanders, but you only have one game to go on him working with Drew Brees. The Saints admitted, both Peyton and Brees, they were brutal, even in beating the Bucks. I hear all these things about Tre'Quan Smith. I don't buy them. I never have. I don't think he's ready to step into a big role. He's going to get reps. What I think happens here, and Cook had a very productive game in week one. This strikes me as a game where come Monday night, you as a fantasy owner are going to look at Brees throwing touchdowns or throwing for first downs, and you may not even know the names of some of these guys. Because remember, before Michael Thomas came to New Orleans, what was Brees known for? Spreading the ball around.
Yeah,
I think that's what happens now. There is no obvious guy for him to replace Michael Thomas.
And it'll be fascinating just for, you know, beyond fantasy, just from a football perspective. If you take Michael Thomas away from an aging Drew Brees, right? Perhaps in the twilight of his career, what does that look like for a guy whose arm strength is very much in question as well, right? I mean, I don't disagree with you at all.
This is where it falls to, and you and I had a conversation about most underappreciated coaches in the game. Who do we bring up? Trotz, Spoelstra,
yeah,
John Harbaugh, This Sean Payton has a Super Bowl ring. No, everyone knows he's a good coach, but they asked when he lost Drew Brees for five games last year, how are you going to do? He went 5-0. I mean, Sean Payton will figure it out. They may look a lot different without Michael Thomas, but Sean Payton knows how to get it done. And last year was an example of that with Teddy Bridgewater just throwing checkdowns for 5 weeks.
Also a cautionary tale for those who are like, hey, Michael Thomas is out. Let me bet the Raiders. Not so fast, my friend, is what Todd Wright is telling us right now. Todd, appreciate it. Hockey, golf, fantasy. We could do this for longer, but we got to run. And I appreciate it as always, sir.
And I've heard the bars at the South Point open at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday. That was on their Instagram account. Thank goodness. I hope that's everywhere in Las Vegas for when I return.
And that's a public service announcer right there. Yes, that is true. That is very true. Things are a-changing. Todd Wright, everybody, from the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Kind enough still to answer all your emails about fantasy at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Just don't ask, should I play this guy or this guy? Start or sit. Make it more in-depth question. Something that's more macro. That's his only requirement. Oh, and know the keyword from his podcast as well. He just wants you to know that he's listening to the podcast as well. So that's a requirement as well moving forward. Coming back, Vinny Maliulo. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps you find the high impact hire your business needs and fast. You'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high impact. It's Gil Alexander. Jason, do you say candidates or candidates? Like I just said it. That was weird, wasn't it?
Candidates.
Yeah. I don't know what came out of my mouth there. All right. Leaderboard, by the way, at the U.S. Open. I plan on doing nothing this afternoon, Jason, but sitting on my behind and watching golf. Can't wait.
Sounds like a great afternoon.
Oh, I cannot wait. Get the old app fired up, Peacock, and watch some golf.
Watch Patrick Reed hit another hole-in-one, maybe.
Oh, please. I have got that 30-1 on Patrick Reed. He's one stroke back. I love betting on a heel, on an absolute guy that no one likes. Look, Daniel Berger, who I have some derivative markets bets on, he's having a good day, so he's at even par. But I agree with Todd Wright as well. JT, Justin Thomas, looks like a guy that might go wire to wire. And if he can just go even par today, it's probably a strokes gained winner for him on the day. But should be fascinating. I mentioned earlier on the show, so Thursdays, Jason, and you got a taste of it yesterday because you're basically shadowing me back and forth on Thursdays. Thursdays I do a numbers game right here at VSiN in the morning, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204 from 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific. Then we go over now. Yesterday was a landmark day in Beating the Book podcast history. The Megapod live on site at the D. So Mike Palm and I were at the D. Todd Wishnev had a thing. He decided he couldn't show up for it. He was playing tennis. He forgot when we start, apparently. And then we have a rotating guest on the screen. If they're in town, they can come to the D too. But we're inviting everybody each and every Thursday morning, 10 a.m., if you want to hang out with us when we do this. I wasn't going to say anything yesterday because I didn't know how it was going to go. But come on down there, you know, if you're in town. We'd love to meet you, and you can be with us for the live taping of the Megapod. And then I do the MSG Plus show with Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Danielle Avari on MSG Plus called Primetime Action, which happens at 4 p.m. Pacific. But the Megapod, I was saying this to folks yesterday. I was like, to anyone who would listen, I was like, you know, VSiN is phenomenal, right? The first sports betting network there's ever been, pioneering. And what a run we've had here over 4 years. And then there's MSG Plus, my goodness, largest market in the country. That's wonderful. But you know what, Jason Kahn? There's nothing like starting something in your underwear and then having it come to a live venue. So I was so tickled by that yesterday in a way that obviously VSiN and MSG Plus, I'm just being facetious, those are obviously major things. But to have a little podcast like that, and not only are we going to do it at the D, but when Circa opens, We're going to do it at Circa each and every Thursday. So I'll probably do a numbers game from there Thursdays once that opens, and then do the podcast so we don't have to drive across town. But just phenomenal. If you missed the Megapod, or you're like, hey, I'm too lazy to go listen to it, Gil, could you just give me the darn picks? Okay, Jason Kahn, producer number 7, unbeknownst to me, because he's that good, went ahead and, what would you call this? Just culled them all together? Here are my picks. I'm already 0-1. These are my Megapod picks if you're watching at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. I had Cleveland as my second best bet, and they got backdoored by the Bengals. I did have them in Survivor, so I am through for week 2 in Survivor. I had 2 entries in the Circa Survivor contest. I lost with Indianapolis last week. Tennessee just by the skin of their teeth get there. What's that expression? The skin of their teeth? Is that what it is? What a stupid expression. Now that I think about it. But Cleveland is through now, so I'm going to watch the carnage on Sunday and hope everybody loses. My best bets, though, Seattle was my single best bet. Cleveland second. Kansas City, because I'm not going to overthink it, third best. Teaser, the two-team six-point teaser of the week, KC and Pittsburgh for me. KC and Pittsburgh going through Stanford Wong teaser legs through the 7 and the 3 in those cases, actually, just through the 7 with Pittsburgh. Green Bay is my big favorite, most likely to lose. I can see that turning on its head for reasons I gave on the Megapod. And if there's a game I just wanted to stay away from, if I had to bet every game on a side, but there was one I wanted no part of, it was Buffalo and Miami. Let's show Mike Palms. Do we have Mike Palms, or you just have mine on those? We have Mike Palms. Let's show Mike Palms similarly. We'll leave Matt Brown's for those who actually subscribe to the Beating the Book podcast and listen to the Megapod this week. Available where all podcasts are distributed. But Mike Palm didn't play anything last night. His best bets, Carolina plus 9 against Tampa Bay. He likes the over in the Las Vegas-New Orleans game, over 49.5, and he likes the Giants catching the points versus the Bears. His favorite two-leg, two-team six-point teaser of the week is the Chiefs and the Titans. He also had Cleveland in Survivor, if he were playing in his own Survivor play pool. Biggest favorite he thinks is most likely to lose, talking about 6.5-point favorites or greater, the Arizona Cardinals against the Washington football team, and his stay-away game was Seattle, New England. Mine was Buffalo, Miami against this number I want no part of. But his was Seattle, New England, which is my best bet of the week. I like the Seahawks there, given the 3.5. We'll come back. Vinny Maliulo, slow jamming. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
It's your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase, and they will here momentarily. Listen up, get the Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages of NFL betting analysis, the College Football Betting Guide with insights on every team, and daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport. For goodness sake, on this show alone, we've had just double figures worth of bets, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting magazine, and all that. You can sign up now with us, but next week the prices will be higher. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Of course, I'm referring to soccer picks earlier, NASCAR picks. We got some hockey insights as well. I am not playing anything in the NBA game tonight between the Nuggets and the Lakers, as we do each and every night on primetime action on MSG+. We're killing it in-game, just waiting for one of these teams in the Boston-Miami series and in previous series, but specifically Boston-Miami, waiting for one of the teams to fall way behind, like the Heat, grabbing him at like +8, +9 points, and then coasting into victory. I'll wait for the Nuggets to fall behind in this one, probably in-game them, but I'm not doing anything pre-flop game one of the Western Conference Final. Should be fun. We always conclude each and every week with this gentleman. Typically, he is in studio. Today, quite frankly, an unexcused absence. Let's get to the bottom of this. It's Vinny Maliulo, everybody. How you doing, Vinny? What's your excuse?
What do you need? A note? You need a note from Epstein's mother's doctor?
Pretty much. Pretty much. What are you doing?
I've got a back-to-back. I've got a conference call after this off-property, Gil. So I had to divert over to Las Vegas dissemination company / Gone Gaming. But I'm here, buddy. I am here with you.
So you
said. And the request lines are open.
Yes, 1-800-KMAL-JAMS for anybody who wants to request some slow jams here at top of the morning. All right, now here's the thing. We don't usually do this, but you actually, just for full disclosure's sake, you're like, hey, here are some things I actually want to talk about today. And you actually texted me a few things. So I am actually blind to some of the things because some of them are vague. But this is an interesting one. Better tendencies, weeks 1 and 2 in the National Football League. That's interesting. What have you noticed about the change in better tendencies?
Well, so you know, Gil, some are different, some are the same. I think the biggest the similarity from year to year is this, right? And this is mainly the casual fans, you know, non-professional bettors, and this is fine. But oftentimes, and we've talked about this in the past, is where the public is really anxious for week one, right? And what happens with week one is they tend to overbet week one, right? They've waited so long for football that they're all in on week one, and you know, many times just go overboard, right? Which again, they'll just keep firing, and the numbers have been up for the better part of the summer. But what's different this year is there was that lull during the summer up until 10 days before. And then when we got to the week of football, and especially with the absence of a major college schedule, people were, you know, they're just so anxious for it that many times some folks overbet it. And then what happens to week two is based on those results from week one, especially some of those upsets. And if you look at the I know you mentioned the survivor pool, but you look at some of those upsets from last week, they tend to overreact from week one to week two. Now, I think what's different about this year is, Gil, with the absence of a preseason, some of these teams, it may take a month to really get the true identity of some of these teams. Some of them you can read, I think, based on some history and the consistency of coaching and coaching mistakes and things like that. So those are the two biggest tendencies, I think, that from between week one and week two that we wanted to point out to the listeners.
What do you make of Todd Wright and I just talked about a total that moved significantly, the Houston-Baltimore total moving down significantly. What do you make of some of these other pretty dramatic line moves? Jacksonville, Tennessee, right? Tennessee struggling to win, barely got by Denver with all the missed field goals and the missed extra point. Opened 11, now it's 7.5, for instance. Atlanta, Dallas, yeah, which I guessed at 4.5 on guessing lines. Chrissy was like, I like your line better. And that line came to me. It was 7.5, now it's 4.5. Mm-hmm. What do you make of all that?
Well, I think that's a reaction too, right, Gil? And to a couple of things. I think in the Dallas case, it's also not only a reaction to the Cowboys getting beat by the Rams, but I think when you look at their injuries, right, as well. So I think that's there's a bit of a combination there in terms of the Cowboy game. I think in Tennessee, I don't know, are people really surprised? Because I think you know, people were really shocked with the Jaguars beating the Colts outright last week. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there'll be plenty of Tennessee money as we get further into the weekend, especially if this game gets to 7, you're going to see Tennessee probably putting a lot of teasers by the public. You know, pros will, if they're going to bet teasers, they're going to tease it through 2 touchdowns, right? But I think people were just a little suspect of the Titans last week. But again, I think the Titans are an example of a team that probably – we're not going to really know more about them without a preseason. So I think it's surprising, but I think there'll be some buyback on the Titans there. But you know, Gil, again, that's sort of the reaction, right, by people. You know, the Falcons got bet last week too. There was some pretty respected opinions on the Falcons against the Seahawks last week. So, but Dallas, I think it's injuries. I think with Tennessee, it's them trying to find their groove and their rhythm.
We got 60 seconds here before a break here, Vinny. I'll get you after the break. Uh-huh. But, as far as the 60 seconds are concerned, you wrote me here, MLB is streaky. Let me try to interpret that. Let me guess what you mean. That when all of these other sports are going on, hockey and basketball bubbles, NFL, that baseball sort of has taken a back seat and will rise from the ashes next week during the postseason. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, Gil. But I also think that, you know, we've always talked about how streaky baseball is, right? Especially when people get on a roll. You know, the Yankees, they started hot, they had injuries, and then they tailed off. Now all of a sudden, you know, the Yankees are on fire again, and they've won 8 in a row. So you get folks riding that. But then there's conversely, there are streaks to the other side. Look at Cleveland, finally got off the schneid yesterday, right, and winning a game. They had lost like 8 in a row. But these streaks in baseball, whether they're winning streaks or losing streaks, are amplified in an abbreviated season, especially now because we're coming down the stretch. And this is all about positioning for the postseason, which will be a great postseason, especially with the expanded format and games starting in the morning and going right through the evening.
Cannot wait. Starts on the 29th, so that's 11 days from now. 8 games on the 30th, we're guaranteed, of September. By the way, the Yankees outscored the Blue Jays in their 3-game series 43-15. 8 games ago, we were talking about the Yankees being a half game ahead of the Orioles for the final playoff spot in the American League. Now we're talking about them flirting, perhaps, with an AL East crown. They got a shot anyway. Coming back, more with Vinny. Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is a September to remember at BetMGM Sports, and right now they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any NBA matchup. And if either team hits a three, you win $100. All you got to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a month like this in sports history, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Just download the BetMGM app today. It doesn't take you more than a few seconds. And use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on any NBA matchup and either team hits a three, including tonight's Lakers-Nuggets game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. As always, please gamble responsibly. Just looking at the leaderboard at the U.S. Open, the 120th United States Open, and it remains the same at the top, right? Justin Thomas, 1-stroke lead over Patrick Reed, 2-stroke lead over Rory. All of those guys still haven't teed off yet today. They tee off this afternoon. 2-stroke lead, though, over Xander Schauffele and Louis Oosthuizen. Two familiar names who are having themselves, a pretty good day today. They're over 60 golfers have teed off. You can count all the people under par on one hand. Daniel Berger being low round right now, 3-under. But everybody else is even par or worse. So the course, very much the winner so far this morning at Winged Foot. We thought that might happen. Vinny Maliulo is our guest. He remains with us from an undisclosed location somewhere in Las Vegas. Where are you, Vinny? Let's disclose that location.
I am at Las Vegas Dissemination Company / Gone Gaming. It's about 12 miles or so from the South Point. Got a paramutual meeting today to just get ready as we head into the third leg of the Triple Crown this year, as you know, Gil, is the Preakness, right?
Yeah, as always.
And then, of course, the Breeders' Cup this year, first weekend in November at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. That paramutual meeting, Vinny, that sounds riveting. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Okay. You want to switch?
Yeah, not at all.
You want to swap with me? Yeah. Come on.
All right. About golf, by the way, which I just talked about, what was the golf betting like? I know in a typical year, we always say, the Masters is the most heavily bet event. And then as the golf calendar moves on, it's sort of, you know, the next major is, you know, the U.S. Open. That sort of trickles down a little more. Then it's, in past years, the Open Championship, that has a time zone problem, and then it's the PGA at the end. Well, now the golf calendar, it was already changed up with the PGA moving. Now in a pandemic year, it's completely jumbled up. Do you expect more handle for what you just got in the U.S. Open than you will for the Masters this year, which is obviously weirdly scheduled in November?
No, yeah, that's a great question, Gil. And I don't think the order of handle will change. So what I mean by that is as always, the Masters is the number one bet event. And you know, the fact of the matter is it's up for so long. And so this year we reposted it because of the change. So the Masters is still going to be the king in terms of the betting interest. But U.S. Open will remain number two. And I think the great indicator, or that one of the great indicators, is you know the daily updates on the prices, daily matchups, which, as you mentioned previously, half of them are already gone for today, but constantly updating them, and folks continue to bet the U.S. Open. It's a great time spot. It starts real early here, and again, I think one of the things that benefits us at the South Point is the fact that the book is 24 hours. And so, we still have the three shifts here in town, so folks can take advantage of getting in and betting the golf as it goes along. So I think that it'll remain Masters, U.S. Open, British, and the PGA, although we did see an uptick in the PGA this year, which I think the positioning on the calendar certainly helped it as well.
Now tell the truth, Vinny. It's just me and you talking here. Nobody's listening. Just me.
Nobody's
and you.
Listening. Okay,
did,
go ahead.
Did you and Chrissy and Jimmy, did you all have a big cry when Golden Knights got eliminated? How does that work for your hockey handle?
Well, you know, of course, Jimmy's always great. No, I don't root for anybody. I think privately.
I mean, handle-wise, yes.
Yeah, I think, listen, first, this will surprise some people. We grew up as fans, right? We had fans as kids, and we still, I think, you know, in our hearts follow our teams. I mean, there's no secret. Chrissy talks about his beloved Steelers and Pirates and the Penguins. But, you know, it is business, right? So sometimes, you know, you always want the Golden Knights to win by one goal, right? Not cover the puck line. But I will say this, with the Knights being eliminated, and it wasn't the exposure this year, Gil, as it was in years past, particularly 2 years ago. Remember, those were from 200 to 500 to one tickets, and what were originally thought to be souvenirs wound up being, in the case of the Western Conference, cashed and poised to pay off Stanley Cup futures. But what that does, too, is create business, right? It creates buzz. The Knights being eliminated, though, frankly, I think is going to impact the hockey finals, the Stanley Cup finals, to handle negatively. Because when the Knights are involved, the folks are just, they're, especially the locals, they're more inclined to bet.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, locals are not going to get involved as much. The casual fans will not get as involved with the finals. You know, you still have your niche market and pros looking for value with the Stars and Tampa Bay, which is going to be a good series, in my opinion. I mean, if you're a hockey fan, you can't deny that it's a good matchup. But the Knights being eliminated will certainly impact the handle to the negative. Let's remember this, Gil. I mean, in the Western Conference Finals and in the series against Vancouver, the Knights' ticket count was about 8.5 to 1. We're not going to see that in the finals.
8.5 to 1 over the Canucks, in other words, ratio.
Over the Canucks and even Dallas in those first couple of games, sure.
Wow. All right, well, let's bring that to basketball. Obviously, Vegas Golden Knights, pretty obvious here in Nevada and specifically in Las Vegas with the interest in betting. What about in basketball? The Clippers obviously eliminated in dramatic fashion at the hands of the Denver Nuggets. But the Clippers ain't the Lakers when it comes to betting interest, I would imagine. So does that even move the needle at all? We have regional proximity to LA, but does the Clippers being ousted move your handle needle at all? And obviously the Lakers still being in it, I would imagine, means a whole bunch to you from that perspective.
Great question, Gil, and a spot on point, no question about it. You know what's interesting about these final four teams, Gil. You know, you had the Heat team and the Celtic team, who, particularly the Heat, which, by the way, I will say this before Jimmy Butler signed, when we put the futures up last June 17th, opened the future book. Jimmy Butler was not signed by the Heat yet. Gil, the Heat opened at 200 to 1. Only a few tickets on them. So there's a few folks out there quietly although maybe not so quietly, rooting for the Heat. The Celtics were, they opened 12, the Nuggets 15, and the Lakers 7-2. And the Lakers, it was a steady stream of Laker money all year. This has always been a Laker town. Is there some exposure with the Lakers? Yeah, but it's not like they were a long shot. So it's not like this huge, you know, this huge deficit that that the books face. Celtics, you know, they hovered between that 12 and 20 to 1, 22 to 1 during the course of the season. Same with the Nuggets, like 15 to 22 or so. But I think the handle on the finals is going to be great. The Lakers are involved. I think the other part is teams like the Heat and the Nuggets, OKC, Houston, once the bubble was announced and the playoff format was announced, you saw teams like that, like those that I just mentioned recently, they got some buzz and they got some play on the futures. So the Lakers Celtics is, you know, what a traditional, certainly a traditional, if you will, NBA final, that would be just fine. And if it's, you know, with the Heat being up 2-0, if it's the Lakers Heat, I think that'll be fine too, because I think the Heat are an exciting team and they play an exciting brand of basketball. But as long as the Lakers are involved, I think that the handle will be just fine.
Yeah, Lakers Heat, of course, Pat Riley against his former team as well. It's so funny to me, the Heat, as I don't want to say random, but they're certainly, they weren't a favorite or one of the, you know, everyone was talking Clippers, Lakers, or Bucks most of the year. Mm-hmm. But for a team like the Heat, or I anecdotally, everybody I know has a Heat futures ticket. It's the funniest thing in the world. Like, oh yeah, I got the Heat at so-and-so. Kelly Bidlin, who's the producer of Primetime Action, what we do on MSG Plus, he was saying he has a 75-1 ticket on the Heat, but he was very honest about it. He said he was in Miami. I think he was in Miami. He was talking to his buddy in Miami. And it was some intel that Russell Westbrook might sign with the Heat. So he was like, oh, I got to get a futures ticket. Let me call this in. And of course, that never happened. And so he just sort of backdoors his way into this 75-1 ticket. Probably much better off that they didn't get Russell Westbrook, right? But everybody seems to have one. It's the funniest thing.
That's the greatest. It's like, you know, when there's a major sporting event, right? A no hitter, a famous knockout, whatever the case may be. How many people does the stadium? Oh, it holds about 12,000-15,000. But you know, 50,000 people were there.
That's right. I know them all.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I've got this ticket. Like I said, listen. I'm glad Kelly has a ticket. There's some tickets out there with some prices, particularly on the Heat.
Vinny, I always appreciate it. Please do send my best to everyone at this paramutual meeting you're going to. Again, it sounds just so awesome. Wish I were.
Yeah,
invited.
Well, you are. I'll invite you right now. Come on over.
That's all right. I got a thing, but I appreciate the invite. Thank you, Vinny,
as always, man.
Appreciate the time.
Always good to be with you, buddy.
The great Vincenzo Maliulo, everybody, or as Chrissy calls him, knowing him for 4 decades, but still unable to pronounce his last name, Vinny Maiolio. Vinny Maiolio, everybody on the show. Always that kind. All right, so we have the three soccer picks. We'll tweet those out. Yes, Jason, in case people missed them. They'll be in the newsletter as well. We'll tweet out some NASCAR picks. We'll tweet out everything with the we had on the show today at Beating the Book. And enjoy the golf. Enjoy golf with all your bets, all our futures. Man, I hope Patrick Reed gets this done for me. Let's go, Patrick Reed. Get it done. And good luck with all your week 1 picks, or week 2, rather, I should say. In the National Football League, may you survive, Survivor, and do well in contests. From all of us, good luck right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.